Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. We got a dull Friday outside and sort of dull in the markets. But underneath it all, Jim, in the markets, great things are going on.
It's like a duck. Very calm on top and the feet underneath the water are churning furiously. As we dig into the headlines that are making up our financial world today, the first thing I want to talk about is Silicon Valley Bank in San Francisco has failed. How often do we hear about a bank in modern times in North America, or at least Canada and the U.S., failing?
Well, in the early stages of any contraction, after any bubble, it happens. It's a highlight of it. So this one's important. So I thought, wow, let's take a look at the chart. And yeah, a year and a half straight up, gain of about 10, 11 times, and then straight down to all over. And then I also got the chart on the South Sea bubble in 1720. And hey, there's very little difference between the two. And the main thing is that once the financial mania is over, a lengthy contraction follows. You know, the usual business cycle. So first of all, recession. And then you, each of the recoveries is weak and each recession is severe. And until it all clears out, usually takes about 20 years. So we live in interesting times.
Joseph Schachter, he reported to us on Thursday that, Silicon Valley Bank, the problem there is that they had put their deposits into treasury bills that at the time only paid 1%. And then when bad loans started to happen with all the startups that they had financed, they didn't have sufficient funds to cover those loans.
And to cover withdrawals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a classic.
A headline that caught your eye, and we'll go through these headlines.
Yeah.
Dear Fed, speak loudly because your stick isn't that big anymore. kind of a ripoff of the Teddy Roosevelt saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. You got a serious intellectual problem with the central bank. And we all know that if the yield curve, when the yield curve inverts, that's short rates rising faster than long rates, a recession will follow. And here you have the Federal Reserve raising short rates, which is inverting the curve. So why would the Fed deliberately provoke a recession? And the reason is that you can go all the way back, Jim, to Roman times. And in a business boom, interest rates go up. And in a business contraction, interest rates go down. It's as natural as anything. And it's been going on, documented, for an awfully long time. So what you have here is the Federal Reserve is an artifice. It's an invented agency. So in order to look in charge, when rates, short rates are rising naturally, the Fed has to increase interest rates. And that then will, is the symptom that foreshadows a recession. So it's, the notion of central banking is absolutely absurd. So, and what happen, what do you think will happen when we do get a recession? Well, the public's going to look and say, hey, you guys spent trillions of our tax dollars trying to prevent bad things from happening. Bad things are on, and you guys blew all the money. So I can see a reform movement to reform the Federal Reserve. And the most natural one would be to put them on a gold standard, which would limit their fooling around with money supply and credit and that sort of stuff. So we do live in interesting times, Jim.
Well, it wouldn't work out well for Canada or the UK because both countries have sold off their gold reserves, and they sold them off at discount prices. They didn't even get full price on it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very low prices. Yeah. Yeah, but that's another story.
Well, China and Russia, India, to some extent, they've all been buying massive amounts of gold now for the last 10 years. What do they know that we don't know?
Well, if I was a staffer on one of those central banks, you'd take a look. Now, also keep in mind, in the last year, the central banks have taken a huge loss on their crazy buying of bonds around the world, all central banks. So, hey, they've had a shock that they've never had before. And so you look around and those guys are the same as anybody else. So they're going to be seeing the rate of inflation coming up and all that sort of stuff. So the natural conclusion would be to position gold as a reserve. This is a good, whether it's for the right reasons or not, it's the right thing to do. Because traditionally, gold was the only reserve in the central bank, and it works very well with a gold standard. It's lengthy to get in, but trust me on this one, Jim, that you can't get rid of a central bank. They're just never gonna. They always got to have the. It's like a religion. You got to have the priesthood. So, but nonetheless, disciplined by a gold standard, it's almost practical. And in a boom, when a boom's over, people start looking for liquidity, so they go for gold, and then that gold starts to go out of the banking system, so then they have to raise interest rates, which cools the boom, and it all works. And I believe that at some time, once the crash is on and the contraction and people are realizing that these central bankers are just a failed priesthood, then a gold standard will be the reform.
Headline, U.S. yield curve reaches deepest inversion since 1981. That's when inflation was running super high, Bob.
Yeah, that was the financial convulsion that ended that decade of rampant inflation. So this is the point, is that the inversion of the yield curve, and we've got the chart back to about 1857, and the rule is, inversion is always followed by recession, and the more intense the inversion, the more the severe the recession. And we can tell you that as of the last few weeks, the action in inversion has become very intense, and this could reverse within 4 weeks here. It's just so excessive. Now, the point, the inversion tells the story. The reversal with the inversion ending and changing is when the house of cards starts to come down. So I think this will be seen probably within the next few weeks. And so there could be a bond rally out of this, but nonetheless, the It's the key to the contraction is when the yield curve reverses and gets off of the inversion.
Headline, Silvergate's deepening crisis jolt crypto stocks. What's Silvergate?
That's that SV, something or other. And yeah, it was the one that went straight up and straight down. And I sent you the chart on plus the chart on the South Sea Company in 1720. They're the same action. And it's fascinating to see that human nature is the same over any century. When you get into a crazy financial market, crazy things happen, and it shows up in the charts.
Headline, global supply chains back to normal after rocky 3 years. Yes, I've noticed Amazon shipments now. You get a tube of toothpaste in 3 hours after you order it.
That's funny, Jim. History, except for in times of war, there has never been a lockdown of any individual economy like that, let alone every economy around the world. And what it was just control freaks in government going for control. And fortunately, that's behind us now. And with the supply constrictions easing, and hey, it'll soon, because last summer it was fear of inflation and shortages. And shortages and high prices are a widely recognized hardship. Now, last summer I recall mentioning that then the opposite to that occurs is when you get the crash, and people out of work, and lower prices and plenty. So then the statement then is hardship amidst plenty. And with the supply lines opening up again, that's probably going to be the case. And the hardship is will eventually be seen as being out of a job. And with plenty, we'll be seeing that there's all kinds of stuff in the stores.
A headline that I just pulled up, March has crashy vibes that could be a prelude to a recession, according to a strategist at the Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have crashy vibes out there, Bob?
Not quite yet, but it's all set up for that. And as I said, our work on the yield curve suggests that it could be, the reversal could come in within the next 4 or 5 weeks, and then we'll just see what happens. So on an ordinary year, there can be positive vibes out to around May or June. Then after that, if you've been in speculative conditions, then it starts to cool, and then most crashes have happened in the fall of the year. And where there are dates, it's reinforced, because there was in northern Italy, Florence, places like that, very prosperous markets, and people were investing mainly in mortgage-type instruments. And 1347 or something like that, unrelated to the plague, but nonetheless, there was a terrific crash in mortgage instruments, and financial historian by the name of Cipolla published a very fine book on it. And in reading that account, very well detailed, the acute phases of that contraction were discovered in the fall of the year. And I've looked at, like, there was a great crisis in Rome in 33 AD, and unable to find anything about seasonality on that. Just, you just know that there was a massive crisis. The government had to intervene and all kinds of things. So this is where seasonals are important, and we're getting a change now that could become quite acute in the fall.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline, U.S. factory orders fall as civilian aircraft demand dives. What, we're not buying new Cessna 172s to boot around anymore? Where are our flying cars, Bob?
Oh, yeah. No, the I thought the headline is demand for airplanes is diving.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a headline that says where we're going.
And
we had some other headlines here too.
Of course, Putin re-Stalinizing Russia.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. As I've mentioned it before, at 2005. Where he, as president, addressed the parliament, and he said that the most terrible things of the last century was the collapse of the Soviet Empire. He didn't mention World War One or World War Two or anything else. Hmm. It was the collapse of the Soviet regime, and he is dedicated to extending it. The invasion of Ukraine is a massive blunder because he originally thought that within 2 weeks he'd have control of the political center in Kiev, and it ain't happening. And it's a terrible atrocity to one man's ambition and his misjudgment. So, but I think what'll happen is with the recession and governments everywhere running out of money and credit and everything, all the stuff. He's going to have to shut down that endeavor. And also last year did a study showing that his incursions going way back to 08 into Chechnya occurred with a high oil price. And then there was one in 2014. I can't remember what that one was. But anyways, that was with a high oil price. And then his misadventure into Ukraine occurred with yet another high oil price. So when the price of oil fails, he will lose the ability to prosecute the war.
Another headline, fast money quants are buying stocks as human traders stay put. What? The robots are wrong?
Robots are buying stocks. Yeah sure. Yeah, no, I kind of like the play on words between human traders and fast money quants. So, yep.
So a quant is a robot, if I got that right?
It's a program, quantitative analysis, I think it was called. And they then use these programs to manage their funds.
And finally, a headline here that could be pretty interesting. Hotel cabanas that cost more than most rooms. What, a little shade on the beach?
On the beach or on the pool deck. You know, with a nice table and the guy coming and bringing you drinks and stuff like that. Yeah. They were $500 a day on top of your room, which could be $500 a day. But the issue is, it's insane, but the issue is that people were paying for it because they were sort of glad to get out after being locked in and constrained for a couple of years.
And but why not pamper yourself? Come on.
It is, but it's a form of madness.
Well, I'm finding with the high price of fast food, I might as well spend $7 or $8 more and get a steak at a real restaurant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's attractive.
Yeah.
God, we're just only an hour and a half away from lunch, but you made me hungry already.
Oh, sorry to do that, Bob. Bob, always a pleasure chatting with you. And we like to remind our listeners that Bob loves to answer your questions. You can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, to be good to be with you and our listeners, and looking forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.